Friends to the Generations broadcast, Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado and bringing a biblical worldview to bear in a day in which faith, family, and freedom's under attack. And Western civilization is on its slide, largely due to the sexual revolution of the 1960s, which in God's providence became the tool by which the family broke down and entire social systems and civilizations have been breaking down. And my friends, this is a judgment upon this nation. We are already in judgment, and I think it's important to acknowledge that. But also, we see gross and massive violations of God's commandments, including the 6th, the 7th, and the 8th commandments. Our entire society is wrapped up in these institutional forms of breaking every single one of the commandments of God. And that includes the 7th commandment. We do come back to the 7th commandment again and again. This time, we're going to look at the massive increase in sexual abuse that is going on with sports programs and public schools. And I think it's going to far, far exceed what we saw even in the Catholic Church. And of course, that was extremely egregious as well. And judgment begins always in the household of God. And then it moves on to society in which we begin to see that there is a wholesale violation of the 7th commandment going on with the sexual abuse problem. And here we have the very sad case of the gymnastics abuse that has hit the headlines. It's been in the headlines for several weeks now, and actually for an entire year. Larry Nassar, a Michigan State University employee, he was a medical doctor, has been convicted and sentenced to 40 to 175 years in prison. And Steve, he should have been executed. I believe if you apply biblical law for a man that is incorrigible in the area of sexual crimes, seems to me that biblical law would recommend execution for a man like this.
Yeah, and the abuse didn't happen on adults. This was like 13 to 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds, inappropriate procedures, things like that, that has been 265 women have come forward.
265 girls, that's right. And it goes even lower, too. We don't want to talk about all of the instances in which this man molested 265 girls over 20 years. And friends, over 20 years, there wasn't a single court proceeding. And that seems to me to be the biggest story in this story, that the civil magistrate in America is incapable, completely incompetent to go after a man who has been committing crimes in the public eye for 20 years. The first accusations came out in 1997, according to one of the witnesses.
Wow.
That's 1997. That's 20 years ago. That's exactly 20 years ago yesterday or last year. And it seems to me, my friends, that again, this was happening at Michigan State University, and Michigan State University is in big trouble, not unlike the Jerry Sandusky case, in which Penn State was wrapped up in it and they were looking the other way. And of course, they lost their position in the NCAA for a while over all of that. And the same thing is happening with Michigan State University as well. But friends, you got to remember that these universities have really attempted to emulate the Greek gymnasiums. That is the pattern for the modern secular university, and has been since Aristotle was revived by Aquinas some 800 years ago. But again, the university works its way into the self-consciously humanistic mold of the Greek university or the Greek gymnasium, where pedophilia was part of the deal. Pedophilia was a big part of the Greek gymnasium. So keep that in mind. Remember that the classical Greek worldview is seeping back in, and there are so many that advocate the classical Greek worldview. The devil wants it back in, and the sheer number of kids being subjected to sexual abuse at the hands of coaches and public school teachers is obviously completely out of control. Now, what can parents do about this? We're going to talk about that next on the Generations broadcast. Where are the parents in this? And because this program goes out to tens of thousands of Christian families whose kids may or may not be in sports programs. But we're going to talk about sports programs. We're going to be very honest. We're going to face the issues on this edition of the program and ask parents, what are you doing to prevent this? That next on the Generations broadcast.
Have you ever found yourself asking questions like, what am I supposed to do with my life? How do I know what God's will is for me? How will I find good opportunities and be successful in life? And what is success anyway? My name is Daniel Craig. I'm a homeschool graduate, and I've asked all those same questions myself. As I was transitioning into life beyond homeschooling, I didn't fully understand God's calling on my life or how to prepare for that calling. I wasn't opposed to going to college, but I knew I also needed godly mentorship and real-life application to prepare for life ahead. And that's why I helped create the Kickstart program, an in-depth training program designed to help other students launch into life now with clear vision through one-on-one mentoring relationships and real-life application. With a clear, step-by-step approach, the 29 Kickstart video training sessions and companion guide walks students through the process of first defining vision and goals for their lives, then finding and engaging with mentors in their community who can help them move toward those goals. So if you're not sure how to prepare for life, you can either spend $72,000 on a college education, or you can first spend $129 on a program which provides cutting-edge guidance through a proven process of life preparation that works. Now, if that sounds like a deal to you, I encourage you, get Kickstart today at generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast discussing the issue of abuse and protecting our children from this abuse. It's incredible this guy got away with 265 girls molesting at least that many, perhaps more. Now, this number is only the number that came forward.
Right.
Probably doesn't include the other 2,000 over 20 years. My friends, and not a single court proceeding. Now, again, the civil magistrate dropped the ball on this one. I believe that the civil magistrate should have been involved with this. And you know what? When it comes down to it, the civil magistrate is not interested in protecting children. In fact, they're very much interested in killing children. They put so much money into Planned Parenthood. Remember, come on. I mean, come on. Let's be honest. For a moment, don't be a flaming hypocrite for a moment. Do the Republican and Democrat senators who can't seem to protect children from taking that painful abortion procedure, and they won't get behind the pain-capable abortion law, and they for some reason, they're not even getting behind the Born Alive bill for those children who still survive abortions. Okay, these Republicans and Democrat senators, they believe in protecting children. They're interested in preventing the killing of children, child prostitution. They just pretend they're interested in these issues. They just pretend they're interested in the child prostitution problem. No, of course they're not. These people are hypocrites. These people that rule this nation are hypocrites. And I think it's good that we realize the level of hypocrisy and the self-deception that rules our civil magistrates today. They're not interested in God's law and the protection of human life. No, of course they're not interested in that. Our civil magistrates, and now in general, there are a few Josephs, Daniels, and Esthers out there, granted. But friends, for the most part, our civil magistrate is not interested in justice. No. Of course it's not interested in justice. But let's talk about parents. Where are the parents and where is the communication of these problems from daughters to their parents? I think that's the bigger issue here. Look, we can't always fix the civil magistrate, but we can look at the parental responsibility in these things. Now, I don't think parents should allow doctors or anybody to see their children alone without them being there, especially when it comes to some of these intimate treatments that doctors may be required to do. Parents should be allowed to be there. If a doctor says, here, let me take your little girl, you can't come with us. What are you thinking, Steve?
I think that should perk up your antenna and say, absolutely, I'm coming with you.
I am coming with you, or we're going to go find another doctor.
Exactly.
It seems to me that parents need to buckle up and say, now, wait a minute. We're not going to allow for this. 265 girls molested over 20 years. No. We're not going to play with this game. And fathers especially, by the way, have an obligation to protect their daughters. And fathers, where are the fathers? Where are the fathers? Where are the fathers asking the questions? Is this doctor going to treat my daughter? And parents should communicate to their daughters that the world is a dangerous place. And people will try to take advantage of you. And we don't hide sexual sin. See, young women have a responsibility, and they need to be trained to this. Our daughters need to be trained that they have a responsibility before God to cry out when something shameful is going on. We don't hide sin. We don't hide our sin, and we don't hide other people's sins. See, Steve, I think this is the root of it. We have to train our daughters. The tendency is to want to hide sin or to hide other people's sins, but they have an obligation to cry out, to resist, to let their parents know. Deuteronomy 22:23 is the biblical principle that governs this. Now again, all scripture is given by inspiration of God to equip the man of God and the woman of God to every good work. Now, what does the word of God do? Go to your concordance and say, okay, where does the word of God speak to this thing where men are trying to take advantage of younger women or teens? Where do you find this in scripture? Okay. Would you be interested in what God had to say about it? Would you want to be equipped for every good work? Okay, then go to Deuteronomy 22. Some of you say, oh no, not Deuteronomy, anything but Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy speaks of loving God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. Deuteronomy speaks about how we're responsible to teach our children God's word as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, as we light up. Well, I don't want to go to Deuteronomy. Well, Deuteronomy is there to train you to every good work. Listen to Deuteronomy 22. If a young woman who's a virgin, betrothed to a husband, a man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of the city, and you shall stone them to death with stones. Okay, that's the civil magistrate's responsibility. But what is the woman to do? The young woman, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man, because he humbled his neighbor's wife, so you shall put away the evil from among you. Okay, so what's the responsibility in this verse concerning the young woman? She's got to cry.
She's
got to cry out.
Yeah.
She's got to cry out. She's got to cry out. Absolutely, she needs to cry out. And parents should encourage any kind of crying out. Yes, absolutely. We don't wait 20 years to cry out. Why? Because we're committed to God's word. We don't conceal sin. We walk in the light as he is in the light. It's just that simple. Now, how do we prevent this as parents? 20 years of abuse. Hundreds of girls, if not thousands of girls, abused by this man. Now, that doesn't count all the rest. But when it comes to athletics, Steve, I think athletics is very much like the Greek gymnasium. It opens up more opportunities. And that's why the Greeks were so interested in this. Parents should be aware of the added risks involved with athletics. I'm not saying that we don't do athletics, but I think we should be very aware of the added risks. And we work some prevention as relating to the added risks. That is, we don't play the way the world plays with athletics. We send our kids off to schools, perhaps, but we exempt ourselves from some things, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did at Nebs University.
Mm-hmm.
So parents should be aware that coaches have quite a bit more time with young kids to disciple them, and to disciple them in the wrong way. Okay? Now, if they're not believers, there's an added risk. Now, even those who profess to be believers, if you don't know them very well, oftentimes they turn out to be flaming hypocrites. They turn out to be unbelievers too. And you're going to allow an unbeliever, a hypocrite, to have a close contact one-on-one with your daughter? And sometimes they even allow for, you know, a 27-year-old young man youth pastor and a 15-year-old girl, and they think it's all going to be great. Oh, yeah, have her in his office. One-on-one, special, intimate time together as he disciples her. Hello, is anybody thinking through this? Well, the modern world is trying to get back to the Greek showers as well, and the Greek baths, especially in the gymnasiums. And that's why the open showers. And this is another problem. Open showers. Open showers. Now, nudity and pedophilia, very important to the Greek gymnasium. So why the open showers in the gymnasiums? Okay. Again, let's ask these questions. Why do we have to borrow everything from the Greeks? Why can't we use a biblical approach to education? Why do we have to do everything the Greeks did, including nudity and pedophilia? I don't think we do. Now, Dennis Hastert, who, as you know, was the
Speaker of the House.
Speaker of the House of Representatives. And most people haven't followed him. It turns out he was a flaming pedophile as well, a Wheaton College graduate, by the way, as well. But he would take advantage of these open showers. That was his method.
He would take advantage of the open showers. Dennis Hastert, the Speaker of the House, now in prison, by the way. I don't think people understand this. He's in prison, but he was a coach. And he messed with boys. Okay, and now again, friends, be honest. This is going on in public schools. This kind of stuff is happening in schools. Why? Open showers, big issue. Sandusky, Coach Sandusky also hosted many summer football camps for these young men and eventually was charged with 54 counts of these horrible crimes as well. So male coaches working with males is somewhat of an issue, and especially when they're in close contact where somebody doesn't have his clothes on. I'm just trying to be as plain as I can on this because, friends, this is the risk that you run with modern athletics. And I think as Christian families, we all need to be aware of this. You don't just sign up for whatever the world is doing. You ask yourself, why are we doing this? You have male coaches or male trainers working with females. That's a problem. And sometimes they have more opportunities in closed areas. Now, when, you know, ordinary public school, private school teachers are standing up in front of a class of 35, you know, that's not a closed office, right? It's safer.
Right.
But you get into a one-on-one training session, you're going to risk sexual sin. Okay, I was born at night. I wasn't born last night. Wake up. Realize these things are happening, my friends. Also, sports tends to focus on the body. And I think we need to understand this as well. There is an infatuation with the body. And this is the way it was with the Greeks as well. They become very interested in the body. And of course, the sexual aspect of the body as well. And some sports encourage immodesty, revealing large portions of the body. And this happens in some sports. So these are the risky sports. Mm-hmm. Here they are. What are the risky sports? Gymnastics. Gymnastics, swimming. These are the sports in which there is an added risk. And again, friends, I'm laying this out for you. Why are all of the gymnasts more of a risk than other sports? In fact, the Indy Star did an article just last year. You might remember this article. It was an expose on this very thing. And it was these news articles concerning gymnastics that I think got some of this to the surface by the providence of God. Now, I'm thankful that some of this sin is coming to the surface because, you know, at some point, God is not going to put up with 20 years of this, and he's going to pull the trigger. The civil magistrate won't. The media will, because by the sovereignty of God, he's going to bring this thing to the surface. I'm thankful he did. The Indy Star was the first, one of the first newspapers to address this. They found, get this, 368 gymnasts who were molested.
Wow.
And of course, you know, these are just the ones they found. The more public examples of it. The Indy Star actually went to court in Georgia and won a case in August to unseal depositions and sexual misconduct complaint files on 54 coaches in the state of Georgia. 54 coaches in the state of Georgia. And the Georgia Supreme Court confirmed the ruling, but still to this point, USA Gymnastics continued to fight delaying the release of that info to Indy Star as of the time they published the article. And there's so many other examples of this. I could give you other examples of this kind of thing. But again, my friends, do you really want your daughters involved in a sport that involves a fair amount of immodesty, in which red-blooded American male coaches are interacting with these girls? Or, worse yet, where the infatuation of the body eventually affects the lesbian coaches, which is where you're getting back to the Greek gymnasium
right.
model. Well, it's interesting. I want to move on here because these are the cautionary notes that we place towards parents. But there's some good news in this story. And I think the good news comes from Rachel Den Hollander, who is a Christian. And she broke the story. She's something like 34 years old. She talks about when she was 15 years old.
Yeah, was
she ran into this guy. She was homeschooled in Kalamazoo, Michigan, turns out. She's a homeschooler. Her parents took her to this training camp or whatever it is, and she was subjected to abuse at the hands of this monster. And she was the first to break the story, or at least, you know, in terms of the getting it out to the masses. I think Rachel Den Hollander was one of the most significant to bring this to light, and I praise God that she did. She did the right thing. She cried out. Now, maybe years later, she may have cried out earlier, nobody was listening, but here now she cried out, And people began to pay attention, and this made news everywhere. And here's her testimony at the court to the monster, and it included this word: "I pray you experience the soul-crushing weight of guilt so you may someday experience true repentance and true forgiveness from God, which you need far more than forgiveness from me, though I extend that to you as well." Well-presented words.
Yes.
Balanced. She understands God's law. She understands justice. She's pressing justice on this man, but she's allowing for the forgiveness of Christ. And isn't that good?
That is
that's
very good.
That's good. And that's public. You can get that on CNN. Now, the entire testimony has some explicit details I wouldn't recommend for people to read the whole thing. But she has some very gracious things to say. She also was interviewed by Christianity Today, and that article came out, I'm going to say, about 3 days ago. And this, again, is what Rachel Den Hollander said to Christianity Today. She said, "First, the gospel of Jesus Christ does not need your protection. It defies the gospel of Christ when we do not call out abuse and enable abuse in our own church." What she's saying is, you're afraid of the power of the gospel. You're trying to avoid the power of the gospel when you avoid the confession, when you refuse to walk in the light and bring these things to light. That's what she's saying. Jesus Christ does not need your protection. He needs your obedience. Obedience means that you pursue justice, you stand up for the oppressed, you stand up for the victimized, and you tell the truth about the evil of sexual assault and the evil of covering it up. And I'd say amen to that.
Amen.
That's well presented. Now, before we're done, she points a finger at the church. And I'm going to address this just ever so briefly. In the interview, she goes after Sovereign Grace Ministries and C.J. Mahoney and the sexual abuse of young boys that happened at a church. Okay. So she goes to that and she says, "If I was speaking out against Sovereign Grace, I would be actively vilified and lied about." And that is, if I spoke out against the abuse at Sovereign Grace, she says, "I would have been actively vilified and lied about by every single evangelical leader out there. I would be massively shunned." And so her accusation is that the church is not willing to listen to those that are bringing out the charges of abuse, and they are hiding it. That's her charge. Now, she may be overstating the case, okay, here, but I want to end on this because this is important. Are churches covering up instances of homosexuality with boys or fornication against little girls? Are they covering these things up? Are they afraid to admit that sin has crept into their churches? Now, maybe some churches are. And my answer to that is, they shouldn't. They shouldn't be afraid of bringing these things to light, because that's precisely what the church is all about. The church is about walking in the light as he is in the light. And if we have committed sin, we confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if you're not walking in the light, there is nothing but darkness, and there is nothing but the covering of the sin, and there is no forgiveness, and there's no cleansing from all unrighteousness. You see, that's important for the church. That's so fundamental for the church. So the hypocritical church says, "Oh, we just want to be the goody-two-shoes church, and we don't want to bring any sin to light because we don't want the forgiveness of Christ, and we don't want the cleansing of Christ." That's no church. Give me a break. That's not a church, Steve.
No, not at all. We were reading through Hebrews again. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And if all you have left is judgment, that is a fearful thing.
Mm. Well, the question, of course, is should they bring it to light to the civil magistrate? And that question, there's a number of things that tie into it. If people are saying, you know, it's all about, somebody says, "Oh, I sinned against this person, I abused this person, that person, just please forgive me. You know, it's all about grace and forgiveness, right? So just forgive me and don't pursue justice." Well, if the church is the Gracie, Gracie, Gracie church, where it's all about forgiveness, and I remember one instance in which a young woman was committing fornication on Saturday, and then on Sunday morning she came in and said, "Yeah, I'm really sorry about that. Can I take communion today?" And this pastor said, "Okay, sure, as long as you're sorry about it." And then the same thing happened the next week, and she said, "I'm sorry about it." And he said, "Oh, okay, take communion." And she did it 3 weeks in a row. Steve, hello? I mean, this... The idea of walking beside somebody until you see the fruits of repentance over a period of 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 years is historical. That's the way the church did it. It's only in the modern day in which, you know, there's so much naivete amongst so many church leaders. they don't want to confirm. They don't want to confirm. They just say, like, whatever, man. And so it turns out to be a very leavenous thing in the church. And so, yeah, there needs to be a hardcore discipline and a hardcore grace and mercy and love that we extend to those who have sinned. And so I think, you know, this pushing for justice, as this young lady does, is appropriate. But here's another thing. We've got to be careful. Not every anonymous caller that, you know, gets a disposable cell phone and calls 300 churches and say, your pastor is doing this. Okay. You don't believe that guy. Okay.
Right.
I mean, think how easy that would be.
Something about two or three witnesses.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. So, you know, some guy just wants to ruin every church and city. And he, you know, he just does this anonymous call to all 300 churches. Okay. We're not talking about that. We're talking about solid evidence where the church has an obligation to get the civil magistrate involved. That's what we're talking about. And the Bible calls for 2 to 3 witnesses. Sometimes people don't want to make sin a public affair. We understand that. And that's what happens when you call in the civil magistrate. But you know what? God humbles churches by revealing gross sin and hypocrisy. He tears us down. He brings us down. He humbles us. And it's that realization how desperately we need God's salvation that oftentimes becomes the point at which revival actually comes back to a church that's been dead and cold for a long, long time. So we realize finally that there's a tremendous evil that corrupts the hearts of men, including our own hearts. And then we see how much cleansing we need from the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes there's one sinner in the sexual situation. Sometimes there's two sinners in the sexual situation. And sometimes there's a whole church of sinners who don't want to reveal sexual sin because they're involved in sexual sin as well. But praise God when the sin is revealed and when we receive the crushing message that we are sinners and we need the Son of God to come and die on the cross and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that, my friends, is what a church is all about. Is it the right time for the church to repent? Is this the right time for the church to begin to walk in the light as he is in the light? Yes, I believe so. And hopefully God will bring something of a revival after he has come to judge the household of God. We pray that God will bring a refreshing revival of the Holy Spirit of God upon the churches in America. Steve, this is my prayer for the churches today, that God would bring back an amazing revival to his church. As we wrap up this edition of the Generations broadcast, we continue to encourage parents to disciple their children as they sit in the house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down. And some of the principles we've talked about on this program are available, of course, in the book of Proverbs, and I encourage you to grab a copy of the book of Proverbs, or at least our Proverbs Bible study guides available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. Get a copy of our Proverbs Bible study guides and walk through a biblical discipleship program with your children using God's book of wisdom, the book that God recommends more than anything else for the discipleship of children, and that is the book of Proverbs. And while you're at it, give them the book of Matthew and give them the book of Mark and Luke and John as well. We've got a number of these family Bible study guides available at our website, generations.org. We encourage you to that website to check out our resources, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.